Amen. Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning, everybody who is joining us over the internet, via Facebook and YouTube. Welcome to Taylor's Tabernacle. Amen. We are a Bible-based church located in West Philadelphia. Our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. 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 We thank everybody for joining us this morning. Prepare your hearts and your minds for a good word. Amen. Something that we can meditate on. Amen. Some things that we will be able to think on. Amen. For the Lord has prepared a word for us. So if you've got stress and strife going on in your life, get ready for this word. If you know somebody and you don't know what to say to them, get ready for this word. For the Lord will equip you this morning for what you need to do and say as you go throughout the next week. Amen. Amen. I'm going to open us up in prayer for those who are in the sanctuary and ask that you please stand. And if you're at home also, please stand and join us in prayer. Christ Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for being true and holding on to your promises. Thank you, because if you said it, we can trust in it. Lord, we ask that this morning you would soften up our hearts right now so that as we hear this word, you would write it on the fleshy tables of our heart. Lord, we ask that you would prepare our ears and our minds right now, that we would be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds as we hear your word. So, Lord, right now, cut through the stress and strife of our life. Cut through the obligations that seem to get in the way. That from this point through the end of this service, we would focus on you. Settle the children. Settle the family. Settle everything right now so that we would receive and hear and do your word. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for preparing a word for us. Thank you for keeping us physically safe and functioning. That despite a pandemic that is going on, despite all the sicknesses that have gone on in this world, you have made a way for us to get to this Sunday so that we could get in your presence. We thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you for loving us before we knew you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'm going to ask that everyone remain standing. I'm going to read our scripture for this morning. It's going to be out of Psalms 118. Some of these verses are very familiar, but all the word of God is good for us. Psalms 118, starting with verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords. even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. 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 Now let's get our hearts and minds ready and prepared. You may be seated in the sanctuary. You may be seated at home. Get your Bibles out. Get your notebook out. Get your pen and pencil out so that you can hear the word. You can write it down, that you can study on it later, that you can meditate on it. Amen. 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 For this is a special Sunday. It's special because the word of God is coming. But it's also special because the Lord this Sunday anointed another one of his servants to bring the word to us. Amen. 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 We're going to get a good word from our sister Barbara Williams. Amen. 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 He hath anointed her to deliver a word for you that you need this day. Amen. Shall we receive our sister right now? Amen.
Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, if we stand to our feet 1 minute for me, I know Deacon Todd just told us to have a seat, but I need you to stand on your feet for 1 minute. I need you to shake off the dust and the dirt of the week and just give God just a little bit of praise. Hallelujah. He saw fit to see you to this point today. Amen. Even if you're sitting in your living room and eating pancakes, put that fork down for a minute and just give him a little bit of glory, because he's due all of it. All of the glory, all of the glory. Amen, amen. Hey, I'm going to take you directly to our scripture. We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to go verse 1 through 6. And then if you turn a page or two over, we're going to go chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Once again, that's Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. And then chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Amen. Say amen when you have it. That's the New Testament. Just a little behind Acts. Amen. I still hear pages turning, so I'm going to give everybody a minute or two more, a second or two more. A very familiar passage, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, And let us run with the endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto God, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning to come in our midst, Lord. You said where one or two are gathered, you would be with us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, pour me out as a drink offering before your people, Lord. Fill me with your word. Help it to help somebody today, Lord. Exalt your name, Lord, on high. We thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do, that you're going to touch someone's life, that you're going to fill someone's life, that you're going to give someone direction this morning, Lord, that they so richly need. We bless your name this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for all things, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to visit every church. The doors are open this morning, and your word is being heralded. The good news is being preached. We ask you, Lord, to settle in those places, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to get glory for yourself. We lift your name, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High. This morning, I want us to think on just for a few minutes. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? And kind of a subtopic I want everybody to think on is you can stand the crushing. You can stand the crushing. We're living in unprecedented times, as our Deacon Todd said, with the pandemic. Most of us weren't alive with the last pandemic. Most of us don't even know, other than in a book, what the Great Depression was, where goods and services and money were scarce, where people starved to death daily. There was stress on every side, just like there is today. Stress on every side. Death, violence, 13 people shot in the city of Philadelphia on one day recently. Sickness, a shortage of goods, and a warning that it's only going to get worse. They announced this week heating our homes are going to cost us even more. It's going to be more expensive. Parents have had to take on the job of being the teachers and maintaining a job from home. That's stressful, people. I can attest that's stressful. Most people are scared to death of a virus we had never even heard of 2 years ago. Millions are dead, sick, and dying. Everyone, just about everyone, has been touched by COVID. Either you've had it, someone you know's had it, or someone you love has passed on from it. Our minds race sleepless nights because we don't know what's going to happen. We still have all the other problems of life. We still have health problems. We still have children acting crazy. We still have marital problems. We still have more month than money. And even more to come. They say life is returning to the new normal. What's normal now? Fear is all around us. Where is your faith? If you're sitting here today under the sound of my voice, or you're looking on social media, God bought you through. It wasn't by your power. It was God, whether you wish to acknowledge it or not. Whether you believe it or not, God brought you through it all. For many, faith was the key. Many ran back to the church. The numbers are up, the giving is up, and it's wonderful. Others turned away from the church. But we as children of God should hold on. We should have been holding on with a death grip, white knuckle to our faith that God would bring us through. We should be believing every day, my God's got me. It should be personal. My God's got me. I want to take a look real quickly at the definition of faith. Wikipedia says, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. The example they gave, not mine, this is Wikipedia. This restores one faith in politicians. Okay, everybody got that. Thank you. The second definition they give is far more interesting to me as a Christian. Strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual, here's my word, apprehension rather than proof. That's a vastly different definition. Do you believe, do you have faith in what you see? Or do you know without a doubt there is a God? Where is your faith? Faith, F-A-I-T-H, is mentioned 332 times in the King James Version, 458 times in the NIV Version. One of the most common statements in the Christian faith is to have faith of a mustard seed. Often easier said than done. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. You can't get there on your own. Faith comes through a relationship, a personal relationship with God. I'm not talking about a sugar daddy relationship, and we all know what I mean when I say that. You can't just go to him in times of trouble or when you want that new car or that fur coat or that money in the bank. You develop your faith by spending time in prayer and in his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by identifying the agent performing an action. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. It's a description. It's an essence, a reality. Faith treats things hoped for as a reality. Evidence is the proof or conviction. Where is your faith? Faith is a noun. But I submit to you, Christians, I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that in the Christian life, faith must be a verb, an action word. We must exercise our faith each and every day. We have to feed our faith each and every day with the word of God, with prayer, and with assembling ourselves together. Hebrews 10:23-25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking, assembling ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We know what they mean when they say the day. Now, I'm not predicting, I'm not prophesying, and nobody save Sister Barbara said, I'm not. But we do know that there is less time in front of us than there is behind us. We see it. If you read the word of God, you know time is winding down. You and I may not see his coming, but he's coming. And it's only going to get worse. Hence, that's why people are running back to the church. They believe the end is coming. Faith is complete trust. You got to believe. God is, and God can do everything, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, without turning. He can do everything but fail. As I said earlier, one of the most common terms we've heard in the Christian faith is faith of a mustard seed. We all pretty much know what a mustard seed is. It's about 1 to 2 millimeters, very small. It seems like such a small thing for God to ask of us, to have faith of a mustard seed. But if you give me 1 minute, I want to show you how they produce mustard seeds. Now, most of us know what mustard greens are, collard greens, all that good eating we all like, you know, with turkey, ham hock, whatever it is mama and grandmama used to cook it with. Well, mustard greens. We see the plant come up, the leaf comes up, and that's what we harvest, that's what we cook, and that's what we eat. If you continue to let the plant grow, it begins to develop a stalk of sort. And on that stalk are little pods. And I apologize. I had a beautiful PowerPoint with all those pictures to illustrate even better and forgot to send it in. So forgive me for that this morning. But eventually the plant goes to seed. You allow the seed, the stalk to dry out. It becomes dry and hard. And depending on how much mustard seed you want to harvest, it can be done a number of ways. But no matter what the way, it's done through crushing. So if I have it in my backyard and I just want a small amount of mustard seed, I take a colander, put it in a bowl. I take that handful of pods and I can just gently crush them in my hand and you'll see the mustard seed fall out. It falls through the colander into the bowl. A little bit larger amount, they use threshing. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what it is. I can't particularly tell you what it is, but you can look it up if you want to find out what that is. But now if you're harvesting a larger amount, the video I saw was of a man and he went through, he had a garden about the size of the sanctuary and he cropped off all of those stalks and he just used a bin kind of like we store clothes in. He piled them all in there and then he literally climbed in there and just stepped on it. Until he crushed those down and it produced a half a bin full of mustard seed. Amen. It was the crushing that produced the final product. The crushing this past year or more for some has been unbearable. We've been crushed on every side. What seems like insurmountable grief, pressure from multiple events happening to us at one time, tragedies all around. It's the pressing, the pressure that produced the product. The pressing produces the diamond. The pressing and the pressure produce, the crushing produce the mustard seed. You can stand the crushing. Hebrews 12:5, Hebrews 12:5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son who he receives. Correction is good. No, it doesn't feel good. But it helps us to grow. Just as we as parents discipline our children, good parents, it is meant for your good. It is not meant to hurt you. It is to correct a negative behavior. You can stand the crushing. For by faith, the elders believed the Old Testament, attaining a good testimony. All they had was faith. They had the invisible God and a promise of a deliverer. Jesus hadn't come yet. But we have the witness. Jesus has come. He has risen from the dead. We aren't waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for the Messiah. Their faith pleased God. They obtained God's approval because of their faith. The elders of the Old Testament were righteous before the Lord because of their faith. They believed without seeing. I want to visit three elements of faith with you today. Faith starts with relationship. Faith requires a right. I want you to accent that word, a right relationship with God. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the word. I'm not talking about holier than thou and what is that saying? So heavenly bound, no earthly good. But I'm talking about an honest to goodness relationship with God. Where you are trying to work out your salvation. A relationship requires work. It requires lines of communication worked on constantly, reading, praying, meditating. Not perfection. The believers and the elders of the Old Testament, they weren't perfect. Noah was a drunk. Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer and Rahab was a harlot. God used their imperfections to his glory. Their faith exalted them before God. The pressing created the faith. Mistakes are forgiven through repentance, but a choice made for God through his son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, When you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, be ye transformed. You don't and shouldn't be the same. Yes, you're going to fight. You and the old man inside of you are going to fight every day. Believers who've been believers for 50 years will tell you they still fight with the old man. The old ways, because they're the comfortable ways. But I tell you, get in your word and stay in your word. It will transform your life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve with God's what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, and our deacon Todd gave us this week, if you tuned into 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. prayer, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Don't concentrate on the madness around you, because there is enough madness to go around. Concentrate on God. He kept you through your life. He kept you the last 18 months. Concentrate on that. Where is your faith? Salvation only comes through faith. You have to believe God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, and he raised him from the dead on the third day. It's a must. You can't be haphazard about that belief. That's your faith. That's the bedrock and the foundation of your faith. You can't think, well, maybe, well, the world says blah, blah, blah. I don't know. You have to claim it and hold on to it. Jesus wasn't a good man. He was a good man, but you can't hold on to what the world is saying, that Jesus was a good man and not the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God. He was God wrapped in humanity, come down to earth to save you and I. When a man is building a house, when contractors are building a house, they pour a cement foundation. They usually pour that foundation on a sunny day, nice dry day. I know this because my godfather is a contractor, and I called him to ask to make sure I had it correct. Cement is a mixture like cake. Too much of one ingredient, too little of another will destroy it. If you pour foundation in the rain and too much water mix, it's going to crack. If you don't put enough water, it's going to be too dry, and it's the same thing. It won't hold. It won't be a sure foundation. Like a house, your faith must be built on a sure and strong foundation. It's hard to build a house during the storms of life. During the storms of life are when you need to stand on your faith. It's hard to build when the rains are falling. That's when you need the covering of faith. That's why building your house, building your faith house, is a constant process. I want to give you a quick story, because I have plenty of time. Unlike our pastor, don't tell him I said that. Amen, amen, amen. 2019, the year rang in. We had just been told that my mother was on a decline and she was headed to glory. I was blessed because my mother was a Christian woman, so I knew where she was headed. But it didn't stop my heart from breaking, because it was my mother. It didn't matter that she was 98 years old, but she was still my mother. Amen. My husband, I, and my sons and other surrounding family, they helped us. We had a hard ride getting her in, as we say, not that we did it, but the work we had to do. She was on home care and hospice. My mother finally got called to glory, and we exhaled a little bit because it was a little bit of a tough ride. 2 months later, My husband, who's sitting on the front row here, took deathly ill. We thought it was nothing. We went to Temple. We thought, oh, they'll give him some antibiotic and we'll be back. You know, we'll be back home. Within 15 minutes, they were dragging me in the back. We need a signature. He needs to go to the OR right now. His airway is closing. 3 times in that 1 week, my husband almost left me. I want you to understand I was on the backside of losing my mother, not 60 days. I was depleted. All I had to stand on was my faith. And if my faith was wobbly, I couldn't have made it. We got him through that. End of the year came, and last year, lo and behold, I got hit with COVID. 7 days in the hospital by myself. My only contact was talking to him and my sons and a few friends on the phone. I want to tell you, it's frightening. Because I caught COVID so early that they still didn't know what to do with it. So they come in giving you all these, well, we can try this or we can do that or we recommend this and we recommend that. All you can do is go to God. God, and lead me. Tell me what to say yes to and what to say no to. This is when I want to tell you that neglect not assembling yourselves, because my church family was everything. Through all 3 of those events in my life, less than 18 months, all 3 of these events happened. They prayed for me. They called. They made sure my family was taken care of. They made sure I was taken care of. Had I not had a church family, I don't know where I would have been. Don't neglect coming to church. You can worship him at home. You're absolutely right. Plenty of days I'm cooking that pot of collard greens and I'm praising God and music is playing and I break down in tears and cry and worship and praise. That's wonderful. But when you come to the house of the Lord, the relationship you developed in that house with other believers can be life altering, life saving. Because oftentimes you find that what you're going through is nothing compared to what somebody else has been through. It helps shore up your faith. It helps shore you up that you can make it. Many of you might recognize, and this is my last side story, and I'm going to get back into my word, but the title of my sermon, Where Is Your Faith? It's a very popular song from back in the day when, you know, Saturday morning, mom turned the gospel on and you cleaned the house. Reverend James Cleveland, Where Is Your Faith? And the song is simply a song of he's speaking to another believer, a believer that has backslidden. And the backslidden believer is telling his story of everything in his life is wrong. He's addicted. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't have any money. He doesn't have any food, whatever it is. And through each one of these successions, Reverend Cleveland is saying, where is your faith? I implore you to think today. To think on, and I'm actually getting ahead of my sermon, but I want you to do it anyway now and we'll do it again later. Think on something you thought was insurmountable in your life. I mean, I'm not going to make it through this. I'm just not. And when it was all said and done and the dust cleared, you're looking around like, well, why was I that upset? Where is your faith? That God will work it out to your good. Sometimes he does say no. And it hurts. We're disappointed, whatever it is. But where is your faith that your all-knowing Father will work it out to your good and to his glory? To his glory. Okay, back to the sermon. I'm sorry. But I had to get that in there. I had to get that in there for you. The second element of faith is obedience. The believers of the Old Testament were righteous before God because they obeyed. Abraham picked up and left home, not knowing where he was going, but he followed God's direction, knowing God would see him through. Noah built an ark amid ridicule and threats, but he obeyed. Enoch pleased God so much that he never faced death. The word says he walked with God and was taken. 1 Samuel 15:22, but Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. To pay attention, to listen and obey to the word of God is pleasing to him. It puts us in a right relationship with him." And the third element I want to talk about is perseverance. Each of the elders or believers in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they persevered. They kept pressing towards a mark, toward the higher calling. They weren't met with cheers, but with laughter, anger, disbelief, stoning. But by faith, they kept their eyes focused on God. They looked past the laughter, past the anger, past the stonings. They looked past being popular toward the prize set before them. They ran the race with perseverance, with endurance. They held on to their faith. How do you think Moses felt in the desert? Moses was a prince of Egypt, slaves and servants at his calling. Now he's destitute in a desert with the sun beating down, not knowing where to call home, not knowing if he's going to be able to eat. Rahab, for helping the spies, Rahab and her family could have been put to death. But they both persevered and found God's calling in their life. Their faith showed them. James 1:12-18. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. What does all this mean? Trials are going to come. They come to strengthen us. They come to build our faith. If all we ever saw was sunshine, we wouldn't even know what rain was. We wouldn't know what rain can produce. We wouldn't know the beauty of the flowers that rain can help produce. We wouldn't know the beautiful smell there is after a fresh rainfall. No one likes trials. No one likes pain. No one likes sorrow. But they come to make us strong. They come to test our faith, to build our faith. Let's go back to the beginning, the definition of faith, just for a second. Complete trust. James 1:2-8 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. For any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from God. He is double-minded, unstable in all ways." Double-minded, lukewarm. God will spew you out. Wishy-washy, unstable. You can go anyway. I mean, think about it. How do you feel about a wishy-washy person in your life? We're usually not very fond of those people. The worlds were formed. God created the entire universe. He flung the stars in the sky. Everything that is was because God spoke it into existence. By faith, we believe all that is because he spoke it. Why? Because his word tells us that. And by faith, we believe his word. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Sarah, Rahab, Stephen, John the Baptist. This chapter speaks about them throughout and their faith. I encourage you in your study time to read Hebrews 11. Their faith set them apart. Why this is mentioned is because they had not yet seen the promise fulfilled. They had not seen the Messiah. They died believing the Messiah was yet to come and that he was coming to deliver him, them, and us. They endured the crushing. Sarah endured being unable to bear a child. That was crushing to a Jewish woman, not to be able to produce a child for her husband. But she had faith. She followed her husband into the wilderness. She had faith. Stephen declared God's glory while he was being stoned. He didn't look at the people stoning him. He looked to heaven. He could see God. He could see Jesus. He looked past the ugliness of this world. He looked at his Savior. The disciples walked with God. The crowd saw Jesus' miracles. But the disciples still had to endure the crushing, the pressing. They were despised. They were hated. There was disbelief. All of this increased their faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes, God will believe. Let me start that again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Impossible. Underline that. Highlight it. Circle it. Whatever you can do in your Bible. That means it can't happen. It can't occur. No how, no way. You've got to believe that he is. Let's be real for a minute. None of this that I'm speaking of is easy. If it was, everybody would be saved. Salvation is free and available for everyone, but not everyone will be saved. Some simply because of disbelief. Some because the world is too appealing. The lust and the pride of life will draw them away. The road to salvation is straight and narrow. Some because if they don't see it, they don't believe it, like doubting Thomas. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. John 20:29. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The cloud of witness is so great. The evidence is so overwhelming. If you walk by faith, if you believe all that is written in the Bible, the believers in the Old Testament are witnesses testifying of God's truth. The truth of faith, what the pressing will produce, the faith to run this race until the very end. Faith that shut the mouths of lions, faith that protected them in the fiery furnace. Faith that parted the Red Sea. Faith that rained manna down from heaven. Faith. Lay aside every weight and the sin that is trying to ensnare us. Anything hindering you, anything pulling you away from God, anything that takes your focus off of heaven, lay it down. Give it to God. Because it doesn't matter in the end. Think about something that's kept you up all night. Remember, I told you I was ahead of myself. When you laid it down, when it resolved itself, did it really matter anyway? Give it to God. What's the saying? He's going to be up all night anyway. Lay your head down. Go to sleep. Let go of those children. Let go of that marriage. Let go of that job. Let go of that money situation. You can't fix it anyway. You've been trying to no avail. Lay that weight down. The fear, the unknown. God's got it. Lay down anything that is hindering you. Fix your eyes on God. Open your heart and your mind and your soul. Fix them on God. We need a constant and consistent focus to God, not only in bad times, but every day of our lives. Those of us who are, or let me rephrase it. Those who run, because you can tell I don't run, but those who are runners. Have you ever tried running and looking around? You're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to wobble, you're going to lose direction, you're going to lose your way. You'll get dizzy. You can't run a race and focus on everything else. I encourage you to focus on God as you run this race called life. Focus on the finish line, the crown that is set before you. Faith is hardcore. It's believing against all odds. It's believing when your eyesight is telling you something else. It's saying no when the world is saying yes, and it's saying yes when the world is saying no. Ask any minister, deacon, any layperson here that is a true believer, born again believer of our Lord and Savior. Choosing Jesus is easy. Living for him is harder, and living by faith is even harder. But it is not impossible. Keep your eyes stayed on God. Read your Bible daily. Don't beat yourself up if you miss a day. Okay, I missed a day. Tomorrow, pick up something. Even if you don't have to sit down and read a whole chapter, read two or three verses. Get yourself a base verse, a verse that you can hold on to in the middle of the night. There will come a time in your life where you'll run towards God, not away from him. You'll run towards his word, not away from it. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. When stress overtakes you, open the word of God. Anywhere you open is good medicine. When you don't have a direction, open the instruction manual, the Bible. Where is your faith? I constantly want you to remember that. Think about when you should have died, that God kept you. Think about when you were losing your mind, and I mean really losing your mind, not a figurative sense, but maybe you thought about ending your life. God kept you. When you had no hope, God kept you. You made it through, and what you thought would kill you didn't. By God's grace, you're still here. Where is your faith? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus finished it all, once and for all. Many of us are still trying to fight a war that's already been won. Jesus finished everything that was necessary for us to run this race. He did it in human form. He's our model for life. You'll say he was God. Yes, he was. But he took on human form and wrapped himself in humanity to show us the way to live. They talked about him. They spit on Jesus. That means they spit on God. They hated him for no reason when all he did was love them. He stayed focused on the joy set before him. In the twinkling of an eye, he could have destroyed all creation. But he thought of you and I 2,000 years in the future. He looked past the agony of death that was before him. He looked past the trials of life. He looked toward the crown, the reward. This life is but a moment in time. Set your sights on Christ, on your eternal home. Set your sight on hearing him say, well done. This past year, we've been through a lot. And still more to come. God has each and every one of us in the palm of his mighty hand. In this world, a beacon is needed. Will you be the flashlight that leads the world to the path that never goes dim? Do you believe him? Do you trust him? Where is your faith? Where is your faith in God? If something said today pricked something in your heart and you want to know more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I invite you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We invite you to join us on our website and let us know if you would like salvation, if you'd like us to pray with you. Someone from this ministry will contact you. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to come in and cleanse our heart. Lift us up, Lord. Clean us. Make us brand new. Help us, Lord, to run on this race of faith. Help us to be shining examples of your love, your glory, and your grace. Help the world to want to know who is it that they serve. Help us, Lord, to have the answer ready that it is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Protect us, Lord, in these perilous times. We know you can save us without the loss of one. We bless and praise your holy name, Lord, and we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And for those of you that are watching online in the sanctuary, she got a hand clap. I hope you were clapping at home, because that word is a word that we all need. Amen. 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 If you go through something this week, go back on and find that word. You can find it on YouTube. Watch it again. Amen. Amen. It's God's word that we're focusing on. Amen. Amen. I'm going to transition us into the next part of our service, which is offering time. Hey, we even got to clap in the sanctuary. It's offering time, where we're offering up and we're helping the Lord in the operation of his church. Amen. Amen. So for offering, there are three ways to give. Actually, there's four, which is being in here, but let me go through the three ways. You can give by text message. Text the code Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 61, all one code, to the phone number 73256. You'll receive a link and instructions for how to give. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions there. Finally, you can give by U.S. mail. Please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. And for those that are in the sanctuary, we have the offering baskets right over there at the window by the side door. At the conclusion of service, we ask that you would exit out the side door and leave your offering. Amen. 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 Now, we have some announcements for this morning, and who better to give them than our First Lady? Amen. Amen. I even say her name right for her, Sister Jemai Ford. Amen.
Am I on? Oh, yeah. So there's a backstory to that, say my name right, that only a few of us get, but I will share. So what, 30 years ago on the campus of University of Pennsylvania, I was an underclassman, Todd was an upperclassman, and took liberty in saying my name, intentionally saying it incorrectly. For the entire time that I was on campus with him, he would say my name incorrectly. My name has an N in the front, and he decided to call me N-Jama, intentionally instead of Jemay. And so I lived with a second name. It was Jemay, and it was Njama. From way across Locust Walk, I would hear, Njama, come buy some donuts from me, Njama. When he had his stroller selling donuts on Locust Walk. So that's the story. And it's still funny all these years later, but I figured I'd share that with you. Good morning. Good morning. I'm here to make the October announcements. And there are quite a few. The media ministry is seeking volunteers, both audio and video for our live streaming and social media. So all of you who are technologically inclined and have an interest in that, have talent in that area, please email your interest to info@taylortabernacle.com or ask Reverend John Curidan about the upcoming training sessions. On October 10th, which is today, as well as October 17th, there will be gardening classes immediately after service. All members are welcome to take any of the fruit, vegetables, and herbs each Sunday after service. And I tell you that this initiative, which is both a combination of our nonprofit Turning the Tide and in a collaborative effort with Taylor Tabernacle, using the property in the back to turn it into a garden, has been a true blessing, not only to us, but the community. And I really encourage each and every one of you to take advantage of it, both the classes that are being taught as well as the actual produce that they're picking up from the ground. It's a great opportunity to have some true fresh fruit and vegetables and also see the process of how it comes about. On October 13th, instead of our normal Bible study, Pastor Ford will be closing. He will be the closing preacher for Pastor Rodney Rogers and Christ of Calvary's annual Holy Convocation. The service will take place on Wednesday, October 13th at 6:30 p.m. and will be available for live streaming on the following platforms: Facebook Live via Rodney Rogers page, Christ of Calvary Covenant Church Ministries, their YouTube channel, and finally through a Zoom meeting. Hopefully the ID and the password is up on the screen. I'm getting a thumbs up, but the Zoom meeting ID is 918-1077-3789. The password is 397-405, or you can also dial in at 646-558-8656. On October 17th, Pastor Ford is asking all members, that's next Sunday, all members to join him for the 72nd church anniversary celebration of Open Door Baptist Church. Their service begins at 11 a.m. and Pastor Ford will be the guest preacher for that morning. So all who are able and willing, Pastor Ford is asking that you head over after the conclusion of our morning service and support not only Open Door Baptist Church, but support your pastor, support Pastor Ford. Open Door Baptist Church is at 1632 North 26th Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. There's no streaming or virtual viewing option available for this service, so those who cannot attend, please just pray for Pastor Ford and for Open Door Baptist Church, the family, and the congregation. Zoom calls with the pastor. Pastor Ford would like you to join him for a Zoom call from 7:30 to 8, only half an hour, on your designated Friday in October. So the Fridays are as follows. On the 15th, this upcoming Friday, 15th of October, it's the young adults, ages 18 to 36. Again, information should be on the screen, but the meeting ID for that is 882-0328-8093. The passcode for that is 101994. On the 22nd of October, following Friday, are the adults age 36 to 65. And the meeting ID for that is 898 5429-1217. The passcode is 207-791. Finally, the final Friday in October, October 29th, is for seniors. Friday just for you, 66 and over. This will be done via the church conference line. So not a Zoom, just a call in, 775-799-9141. On October 24th, Young Life Experience, YLE, there is a Lean on Me series, Building a Relationship with God. That's a series just for YLE. From 11:30 to 1 o'clock on October 24th, that will be held. So more information will be coming, but please make sure that you put that in your calendar. And finally, on October 31st will be our very own Harvest Festival. It's going to be chock full of activities for the community, not only the church community, but for the Southwest Philadelphia community. We're inviting everyone in the community to come out. It will be an outside event, given the times that we're in. We will be not only supplying Harvest Fest type things, activities, little contests, hula hoop contests, basketball contest, or however, whatever we can do outside. We're still lining the activities up, but there will be a pumpkin painting for the kids. There'll be other activities. Hopefully the weather will be permitting, fun activities and prizes for winners. In addition, we will be handing out information and the same PPE, personal protective equipment, bags that we had last week, but this will be, these will include even more information about where people who are not vaccinated but want to get vaccinated can get a vaccination. There is monetary support to help those who find that that's an impediment. And, the PPEs not only will have the same, reusable, masks, but they will come in reusable and keepable and washable compartments this time. So those are special packets. All of this is a compliment of the Love Your Neighbor campaign, which Turning the Tide is helping to lead, in addition to two other organizations. That's Bethel AME of Ardmore, as well as St. Matthew AME Church. They are partners with Turning the Tide on this important initiative to get information out to the community about COVID-19, updated information about COVID-19, whether it be boosters or, information about where you can get vaccine. We're trying to reduce vaccine hesitancy and increase the number of people in our community who are vaccinated. So this Harvest Festival will be supported or hosted, rather, by Love Your Neighbor. And all of this is funded by the Temple COVID-19 Trauma-Informed Workforce Initiative, which I told you about last week. Next week, I will have some more PPEs to hand out, and I'll give more information about Temple's important initiative. But I really appreciate all of your support, and I'm looking forward to this end-of-the-month activity right at the church, which we're going to have. It will be from 1 to 3, something special for all the kids as well as the adults. So that actually rounds out our announcements. Who am I passing it on to? I am passing it on to the preacher of the hour. Yeah, she's going to close us out. All right. Yes.
Amen. If all hearts and minds are clear, we may stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to go with us, guide us, stand by us, and fight for us, Lord, as we leave this place. Grant us traveling mercies, Lord. We hope, Lord, that something said today has lifted a heart, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless each and every family represented here, Lord. We ask you to remember all the churches with their doors open this morning, Lord. We ask you to just visit, to let the train of your robe fill their temple, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We exalt your name. We give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.